Good evening, Oakleaf Baptist Church. It is great to have the opportunity to spend a few moments tonight with you studying the Word of God. We're going to continue our study in the book of Esther, and I'm excited about that. We're going to be introduced to a new character this evening. But before we get into the Scriptures, I want to take a moment and just encourage you to continue to stay in the Word of God, continue to pray, continue to minister to those around you. If there are elderly or folks in your neighborhood in need, I encourage you, please, take time to be the representation of Jesus Christ to them and see if there's a way you can help them, to see how you can assist. Now listen, there's some exciting stuff going on here at Oakleaf. The leadership is meeting. Pastor and I met with the elders this past week, and we are beginning to try to lay out a strategy for how we want to reopen the church as time goes on here. As we know, Governor DeSantis is beginning to give us some options and slowly reopening our state. And that is going to have a huge impact on our church life as we can begin to corporately meet again under the same roof together here in the future. So hopefully over the next several weeks, we're going to see some changes and we're going to see some things take place that's going to give us the opportunity to get re-engaged in corporate worship under the same roof together, spending time together in our Sunday school class groups, and to spend time with one another. Now listen, as we move forward, there's obviously going to be some changes that are going to need to take place for us to minister in light of all the pandemic issues that we are facing, to make sure that people feel safe and comfortable. So stay tuned for instruction on that as we continue to move forward. Listen, as we meet in the Word of God tonight, I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. I want you to learn something. I want you to gain a greater hunger and thirst for God's Word as we study. So before we get into the Word of God, we need to ask God to work in our hearts and lives and for Him to speak to us, because the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But it's the Spirit of God who does the work in our hearts and minds. And listen, we need Him to work. So tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's talk to Him for a moment. Father, we come before You and we ask You to continue to work in our lives. As we continue our study in the book of Esther, I pray that You would help us to grasp more understanding, to be able to dig deeper into the Scripture. Father, I pray that through this, You'll give us another piece that helps us to better understand and have a greater knowledge of the Word of God. But Father, help us not just to continue to accumulate facts and information. Help us to take what we're learning and help us to look for people around us that need to know the Word of God and need to know Jesus Christ. Help us look for those opportunities to tell them about what we know about the Scripture, to tell them what we know about the Savior. And Father, I pray that as we meet tonight, You would bless our hearts as we study the Word of God. Speak to us. Help us to be attentive and open to Your work. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we get into the book of Esther, I'm going to start out with how we normally start out. Let's start out with the books of the Bible up to Esther and let's say them together. You ready? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Esther is right where we're going to be at tonight. Esther chapter 2 and verse 7. So if you have a copy of God's Word or you have a digital version on your tablet or phone, take that out, open up your Bible software, and here I use YouVersion. Really cool little tools in YouVersion to be able to study the Bible on your phone or tablet. There's a really cool thing our church has on there where on Sunday mornings, if you go into YouVersion and go to the events option, bottom right-hand corner, you click on the little menu, go to the events option, type in Oakleaf Baptist Church, and it'll find our church in that events option, and it shows you the scripture pastor is going to be teaching from. It shows you his outline that he uses on Sunday morning. It allows you to be more informed. It even has links to giving and links to the video service if it's going on there, or if you want to find it and watch and follow along with the notes. Everything's right there in YouVersion. It's really cool. So I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible software app on your phone or tablet, YouVersion's a great one to use, and we have integrated it into our ministry here at Oakleaf. So as we look at the Word of God, we know where Esther's at now because we went through those books. Let's review the next step of what we've studied over the last several lessons. So Esther is a book that was written 40 years after the book of Ezra and 40 years before the book of Nehemiah. So Esther falls right in the middle, a 40-year window on either side for these other two books of the Bible. You say, well, what's the significance of that, Bill? It helps us understand, if you watch the lesson, what was going on. See, in the book of Ezra, we see that there's a group of Jews that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And then, when we study the book of Nehemiah, 40 years after the book of Esther, we see a group of Jews that go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls in the city. Exciting, exciting study when you look at the historical content that takes place with these three books. Just awesome stories. Now listen, when you look in Scripture, you'll see here that the story takes place in Shushan. That's the capital of Ahasuerus or Artaxerxes' kingdom here in the Persian Empire. We see here that Vashti the queen is Artaxerxes' wife. We see that Artaxerxes throws this huge party. 127 princes of the province of his kingdom show up for it. And they get into this discussion about where the prettiest women of the world come from. And the king says, listen, guys, there's no doubt Chaldean women are the most beautiful women you could ever imagine. My wife Vashti will blow any woman away. She is just amazing. She is just beautiful. And they challenge him. They put him to task and say, bring her in and let us be the judge of it. Well, he sends for her, and as we have the study, we see the story. She refuses. His advisors tell him, listen, you can't take this from her. Remove her from being queen. You can watch the study and see how all that worked out. But we have a king without a queen now. Not only do we have a king without a queen here, but we also have a king who went on a military excursion, and we studied this in the next lesson after that, where he attempts to go on a military excursion. Initially, it started out very successful, but in the end, it ends up really failing. As he comes back to the palace, he leaves one of his generals on the field to oversee the battle. The battle doesn't end well at all as they put a siege and try to wait out. It just wears down and wears down. So we see his men coming back to the kingdom, the Persian kingdom, and they're discouraged. He's discouraged. His counselors tell him, listen, king, you need a wife. A wife will help you be happy. So he begins to set in motion this process of finding a wife. That brings us to our lesson the last time we met, which introduced us to the character Mordecai. Mordecai is an interesting individual who we found out was at the castle gate, at the palace gate. We see from a historical standpoint that he was one of the counselors to Artaxerxes. We see that he had integrated himself into the culture there. Really fascinating man. You need to watch the lesson to find out a little bit more about Mordecai to help you understand who he is and the significance in history about him being at this particular place at this particular time. But we want to study tonight, as we continue to study the Word of God, we want to study tonight verse 7 of Esther 2. The Bible says here, and he brought up Hadassah, that is Mordecai, brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So I want to look here at this new character that we're introduced to. I know it's no secret, it's the book of Esther. So obviously Esther is one of the most prominent characters in the whole book because the book was named after her. But her name wasn't originally Esther. If you look here in verse 7, the Bible says that her name was Hadassah. Now, you say, what's the significance of this? Well, remember, as we studied in the past lessons, Nebuchadnezzar goes into Israel, Jerusalem, and he takes captive Jews, and he takes them prisoners back to Babylon. Then Babylon gets overthrown. Artaxerxes and the Persian Empire bring those Jews out of Babylon and bring them to Shushan and other areas in the Persian kingdom. So now we have these Jews that are integrated into the Persian Empire, and they have Jewish names, but the Persians or the Babylonians also gave them names a reflection of the Babylonian or Persian Empire. Hadassah means myrtle. That's it. Myrtle, a tree. That was her birth-given name. However, Esther, as we see here in Scripture, she's introduced as Hadassah, Esther. Esther means star. It's a Persian name. As we look in Scripture, we see here that we can study this out, and we would put together that Hadassah was an early maiden name for this young girl, but as she's introduced into the Persian culture and empire, and she begins to come into our story and begins to come to life for us as we read the Scripture, she becomes better known as Esther. So as we read the Scripture, we see here, she has a Persian name and she has a Semitic name. So as we continue in the next paraphrase here, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. Now, Esther, as we see here, simple thing to be said, Esther is Mordecai's cousin. They're cousins. In the process of life, we'll get into it in a moment. At the end of this verse, it talks about the mom and dad's death again. We see here that Esther doesn't have a mom and a dad. So family takes her in, which is very common, and they raise her as their own. As we see here, if you study Scripture, you study historical documents, you'll find that Esther was the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai. Therefore, it must have been Mordecai's cousin. As we study the Scripture, we would see that obviously it says it in plain sight here in verse 7, that his uncle's daughter was who Esther was. So we can establish her name. We can establish her bloodline. She comes from Mordecai's family. She comes from, which by the way, in our last study, interesting family history for Mordecai. Then you look at this young girl who's without mother and father, and she is taken in by Mordecai's family. I want to look at the next thing here. And the maid was fair and beautiful. Now, I want you to consider this. The Word of God is always true. It's never false. It's preserved. It's for us today as it was for those who lived back then. The Bible says that Esther, Hadassah, was fair and beautiful. Now, as we see the course of this story unfold, we're going to see Esther gets involved in the king's search for a queen. And she is put in a situation where she is around a lot of pretty women and girls competing for the opportunity to become queen. And the king is going to determine who his next queen is. Now, the Bible says that she was fair and beautiful, but I can assure you, after the king and his experience with Vashti being so beautiful and no one more beautiful than her, when he picks his next queen, I guarantee you she is going to be beautiful. Obviously, he likes having a beautiful wife. As we look here, we see that she is fair and beautiful. We see here that this is, I want you to consider this. When you consider Mordecai being her cousin, he sits at the palace gate, counselor to the king. She has already a significant opportunity to be involved in this process of picking the next queen. Amazing how God is ready for history. He's not surprised by it. He doesn't have to rush and prepare for what's taking place right now. He is ready. He sees it from beginning to end as one. It's not a surprise to him. We see in this passage of Scripture, Mordecai takes this girl in, Esther, Hadassah, raises her. And you might think this is just a typical story in Jewish culture, but it's more significant than that. It's significant in the fact that God has put these people in this place for a specific time. And as we unfold the story, as we dig into it, we see more and more how God's hand works throughout human history so that he can influence and he can allow His plan to unravel to what He wants it to be. We see in this passage that she was fair and beautiful. The fact that she was related to Mordecai and Mordecai was connected like he was is something that is just interesting from a historical standpoint. But the beauty factor of Esther and the fairness of Esther in her life, listen, that isn't by mistake. God had planted her there with her beauty for a reason. We see here that God gives her a guardian as she's being raised in her cousin Mordecai. He guards her and teaches her and nurtures her and raises her up as his own child. Now, some would say that there may have been as many as 20 to 40 years age difference in Esther and Mordecai. When we look at the scripture, I don't believe that we see that necessarily insinuated anywhere. Just through historical documents, we can conclude that. But we see here that God gives her a guardian. This guardian is well-placed, well-connected, and in a position to be used of God to do something amazing. Esther was now in the beauty of her age. She was most likely in her late teens to 20s, and her beauty was one of the virtues that stuck out to anyone who met her or saw her. When we look in the scripture here, we see the last part of this, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So we see here that Mordecai takes her in when the parents pass on. Now, if you study the historical documents, you look at the Midrash and the Targum, you'll find out that the historical record would reflect that Esther, Hadassah's dad, passed away before she was even born. And the historical documents would reflect that Hadassah's mom died while giving childbirth to her. Esther's mom died in the process of childbirth. So she's brought into this world with no parents. When we look in this passage of Scripture, I think it's interesting to point out that from a historical standpoint, we see that she is brought into this world and has lost the two most influential people she could have in her life up to this point. And yet God has a great plan for her. Listen, maybe you're watching this study this evening and you yourself have faced difficulty in life. You've faced uncertainty and hardship, and sometimes you may wonder, God, why are you doing this, allowing this to happen to me? Why is this taking place? Listen, when we look in the scriptures and we see this story unfolding, you know, there's not a whole lot of positive that has been talked about yet in this story as it builds. We see the main characters that emerge in this story from the people that God intends on using are a king that's depressed, that is lost in war, that has pushed his wife out of the queenship. We see a man who has been taken, a family history that was taken captive and pulled into a foreign land and has been separated from the temple in Jerusalem and all that religiously he would know to practice and has been taught. We see a girl, Hadassah, Esther, who has lost her parents even coming into this world. What a disastrous beginning to a story. And you may face the same thing in your life, where you feel like just there's disasters in your life that you don't see how things could turn around and get better. You don't know how in the world God could ever use the wreck that you are in. But I want to tell you, folks, as you continue to read and study the book of Esther, you will see an amazing story unfold of God using people that were in disasters. Listen, God can use you. He can use me despite the disasters in our life, even disasters we have maybe even created ourselves. He can take those things and He can turn them into something beautiful and good for His honor and His glory. You say, well, Bill, what does it take for that to happen? Oh, it takes a child of God who follows God, who stays focused on what God's doing in their life, and knowing that He has a greater plan than we could ever understand. Esther, Hadassah, she lost people significant to her, and she didn't even know it at such a young age as a baby. But God turned that around to be something great. I want to encourage you today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do so today. If you have questions, go onto our website, oakleafbaptist.org. At the bottom of the page, there's a place where you can communicate with us. Fill that information out. Send it over to us. And either myself or Pastor Ball will reach out to you. We try to help you answer your questions. We'll try to guide you along. And we'll try to help you come to faith in Jesus Christ. But truly, you are the one that has to make that choice. Maybe you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ, and there's been disasters in your life. Right now, with the pandemic going on, people have lost their jobs financially. There's upheaval. The families are stressed out because of having to stay inside and all that's going on. You say, how could God take this and use it for something for His good and His glory? Listen, because there are people in our community that are right where you're at. Their lives are a disaster too. And what they need to see is a child of God who has the faith and the relationship with the Father to show strength in knowing that God is at work and that you trust God more than you trust the society and the money and the government and everything else. You trust God more than anything. And they need to see people of faith encouraging them and telling them about who God is. You can take a tragic situation and turn it into something beautiful that honors God, that brings God into the conversation so people can be introduced to Him and learn of Him and hopefully come to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe even help other believers be strengthened in their faith and their walk with God. I encourage you, don't let the disaster be the end of your story and stay there. There's something great for God to do through you. And what it takes is for us to be willing to follow Him and obey. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You for our study in Esther tonight. Thank You for the time we spent together. I pray that You'll just watch over us, guide, direct us. Help us to not be stuck in discouragement. Father, help us to realize that there is an opportunity here that God has put us here for, just as He did with Mordecai and Esther and Artaxerxes and all these characters that we see in this Bible story. There's a plan that God is working. Help us to embrace the plan that God is working in our life. Even though it might be the time of disaster in our life, help us not to give up the hope that lies within us that one day we'll spend an eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. But right now, His story is unfolding here on earth. Help us to be part of that story, bringing His name to the forefront. Father, we love You. Now, I pray tonight that You would take us from this video, take us in peace, provide us with boldness to live the life that would honor and glorify our Father in heaven. Help us to be passionate about our relationship with Jesus Christ and pursuing You, Father. And help us, Father, to love others the way You would want us to. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your care. Watch over, guide, and direct us. Help us to stay focused on You. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us here this evening, and I hope you have a great week.